Now, yesterday night we spoke about different kinds of meetings, and you know, I also mentioned how meetings overlap. You know, a teaching meeting can lead to a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting can lead to a healing service. An outreach service can turn, you know. And how does that happen? Is when we learn to flow with the Spirit. You know, the word flowing with the Spirit, you know, sometimes the basic things, you know, are so important that we could just, you know, lose the edge we have on those very simple things. You know, very simple things. And the basics are important. I mean, for me, there are some things that I don't ever joke with. They're very basic for me. And a preacher was speaking to me sometime today, and I was talking about something difficult in ministry, and I said, no matter how you go around it, I said, the times when you face those difficulties, not just ministry generally, they are meant to deepen your prayer life. It may not come out like that. You won't see it like that. You know, next thing you want to go in the flesh, you even think that, do I have to pray? But that's really when it would deepen your prayer life. Remember something I faced years back, about 20 years ago, 23 years ago actually. And it just got me praying. The way I prayed that period was so funny. I prayed that while I was trying to sleep, I prayed in my sleep. I woke up praying, you know. I can't forget, you know. Then I think I was with who was it that I led to? I'm not sure. Went to UCH, and it was not you. And I showed the person the areas that I'll just stay there all night, and I just couldn't sleep. I was just praying and praying. So rather than get into a worried state, it was just pray. Philippians 4:6 says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but that means there's anxiety in the corner. But with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So, those are things you know. There are some things that are just, you mustn't lose your edge with the basics. With the basics. When the word of God is taught, watch your attitude. You know, those things should be with you all the time. There are some things it's just, you know, it's, you know, deep down. Where myself, Pastor Tokes, you know, I was trying to share a joke with him when he was preached about how we had this disagreement. You know, this was in 96, I think. No, 97, because Larry wasn't there. So we had this, well, we fought over doctrine. We really fought over doctrine. We fought that day. It was in my house in Ikorodu there. So he came to preach. So he, of course, somehow, and the way it was, myself and my other friends, three of us shared two really. We shared very common doctrinal position. He slightly differed. Another person. So we came together. And so everybody heard themselves. So he just brought up the argument. And we shared. So we fought that day. So somehow, you know, we now eventually had a meeting in the evening. And it's going to lead to what I'm talking about tonight. And we just said, okay, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. And he was the elder to us there. So we said, okay, you should champion the Holy Ghost meeting. And the funny thing that night was that it was such a very good flow of the Spirit. The five of us, you know, we ministered to many people. And it was somehow a way God resolved our funny arguments in during the day. And we sat down and felt, look at how people were blessed. Because we decided to put those things aside. And we just flowed with the Holy Ghost. And it was such, so we now sat down outside that night and they said, you know, guys, what a great night. We can disagree without being disagreeable, you know? I'm saying, it's true, we can. And we just laugh. And we just, let's just walk in love. And we left it that day. You know, I think it was Rivers of Joy. It must have been Rivers of Joy, because that's to be December. Rivers of Joy 97, which is now Believers Convention. You know, so, you know, the point was, we knew, okay, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. That in itself is an intelligence you get with practice. Okay, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. It will give us a direction. Let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. You know, for example, if as a church, maybe among leaders, and we're thinking, oh, how should we go about it? You know, we can just say, okay, let's just have a Holy Ghost meeting. We trust God that He will give a direction. You can only say that if, okay, we're talking about something earlier today about a certain preacher we all know. And I said to them, you know, how it, within a very difficult period that people have thrown in the towel, he just kept his confession. By the time he told that story, I said, there's something, you know, Toki will say, something you have chopped, something that is inside you. Like I talk about your foundation, something that is part of you, that when the push comes to the show, you just bring it out. That when the thing comes to you, say, this one, I know this one. I mean, it's just a practice that you have not let off. And that's something about us. We must have things that, you know, it's not like you turn them on like magic wand, but some things that are just a part of you. So there are some basic things, very basic things. And one of them that you learn in a church like this is how to flow with the Holy Ghost. How to flow with the Holy Ghost is something you should learn. How to flow with the Holy Ghost such that you are able to, and you know, flow with the Holy Ghost, really what it means is flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. That's what it means. Flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. That's what it means. How to flow with the Holy Ghost. So if there's a Holy Ghost meeting now, you already have an idea of what it is. And of course, not just having an idea, you know what it means to be in a Holy Ghost meeting. So what's a Holy Ghost meeting? Now, Kenneth Hagin was the one who taught us what Holy Ghost meeting is. Now, he taught us believers meeting, the Holy Ghost meeting. Now, what I have done is to synchronize both together. The believers meeting, the Holy Ghost meeting. He says the word of God is taught or preached at the inspiration of the moment. I've known this definition for arguably 28 years. That it's always in my head. Okay, what's a Holy Ghost meeting? A Holy Ghost meeting is where the word of God is giving first place. Is preached or taught at the end of the moment, then the Holy Ghost is given a free room to demonstrate himself. Precisely, now a friend of mine added this one, TJ. TJ said precisely first in the utterance gift that leads to the revelation gift and then the power gifts. The Holy Ghost is given free course. The needs of the people are met. The needs of the people are met. And they leave through the door of rejoicing. But the Hagin will say that there's much joy. They leave through the door of rejoicing. Now, we now took that on and, you know, expanded a bit and said, and the ministry offices will be prominent. Okay? Believers will walk mutually and collectively in the things of the Spirit. That's why I synchronized it together. So, a Holy Ghost meeting. If you're a worker in training, one of the things that if they have not trained you on this one, if your pastor, your cell group leader is yet to teach you this one, they are not doing what I sent them. They must have trained you, taught you how to flow with the Spirit. There are some things that a member of Saints Community Church should have. It's, if you don't have it, and you say you're a member of Saints Community Church, not even just a worker in training, then somehow you are living a lie. How to flow with the Holy Ghost. That is, if we have a Holy Ghost meeting, we expect you know what it is. The word of God is taught or preached. Alright? And in front of the moment, the Holy Ghost is given a free course to demonstrate himself in the gifts of the Spirit. And together with that, believers stand in their offices. The needs of the people are met. The needs of people are met. Okay? Now, the second one, we said that, I said a friend added, firstly, the utterance gifts, then the revelations, then the power gifts. Then the needs of people are met, and we live through the door of rejoicing. But let's put it properly, there's much joy in the meetings. Much joy. So, that's a Holy Ghost meeting. Now, for example, I know some things I'm going to, in fact, before I came, I was really waiting on the Lord. Is it tonight or tomorrow? I believe it's tomorrow. There's something I saw last week that I was going to do in this meeting. I saw it, and I was going to do it. And it's very unique because I've never done it before. So, and tomorrow I will. I thought it was tonight, but it's tomorrow. I'm just going to do that tomorrow. So sometimes you are, God prompts you ahead of time and says, you are going to do this, you are going to do this, you are going to do that, you know, in the Holy Ghost. So it's not really all the time, it has to be just in the meeting. But sometimes in praying and waiting on the Lord, He'll point your attention to this is where you're going this time around, this is going to be the emphasis, this is what you're going to do, and all that. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, the Word of God is preached or taught, and at the inspiration of the moment, which means that there may not be any precise subject. You know, you're not going to go into one deep teaching. I remember one brother like that, you know, this must have been 99 or so. You know, he was going to organize a meeting. I talk about that meeting a lot because Pastor Funke was in that meeting. And he, you know, Pastor Ola is also watching, so she was in the meeting. So, and, you know, the guy told me about the meeting. So he told me, okay, I said, no problem. It's a Holy Ghost meeting, no problem. So I asked him a question, like, I think it's a week before. I said, what's on your heart? What do you think the Lord is emphasizing? He said, the ministry of angels. I said, that's quite a subject for inspiration of the moment. You know. Because I know the angels. I mean, the first time I taught angels was maybe 2 years before, 96. No, that's 3 years before. And I know that it took me about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, every day teaching. So I kind of felt in a Holy Ghost meeting. That means we're not going to leave the meeting. So when he said that, well, I just kind of felt, and it was his meeting, so I didn't want to argue, but I knew the reason why he said that, he's not experienced. So by the time the meeting was close by, he now said that, in fact, when he told me about angels, said the Lord told him, and when people talk like that, you know, I'm a son of God. I have to defer to the Lord that told him. So when he came back, I said no, that the Lord said he should talk about healing. Yeah, about healing. Okay, it's a bit close. That's a bit close. You know, so when we now got to the meeting, somehow for whatever reasons, he now went into some Greek teaching, you know, I mean, I don't know, because he saw some of our folks there. I think it was like, I'll show you, I can teach something. So I was looking at it, and my own session was after his own session. And I knew that by the time he does this, the people, you know, they were Pentecost, they had cloven tongues that was fire. I was pretty sure it would be Christ's water. So I said, what do I do? And he was, you know, trying to explain. If I, one of the people who preached in that meeting, who will have been here too, can't you explain? So I just called one sister. I said, Kate, go and lock that door. People will want to leave after this kind of session. I said, ID, you do this one. Don't worry, I'll do something for him now, so that we can take over this meeting. He said, okay, you know what to do, So they just shut him. So he now said we should get up. You know, we just went close to him, like I was going to tell him something. I just laid hands on him, just went under the power. That was all. So we took him out. We just took him out. That's how we did that day. Pastor Dokwendo, who was there, we just took him out. So, move away. So, I just went into what a Holy Ghost meeting is. I just preached Hebrews 2:4. Signs, wonders, divers, miracles, gift of the Holy Ghost. What are signs? Signs is something you see and say, you know, that's the Holy Ghost meeting. You know, at the end of the day, the meeting was, the pastor who came in. So when he came in, he said, what's happening here? He said, this is really, really a storm. I said, somebody was bringing something else before we, you know, just some knowledge. You've seen it before. Okay? And we had quite, you know, a mighty flow of the Spirit of God. And that's because, right, I've been taught how to flow with the Holy Ghost. You should know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. Now, look at Ephesians 5:18. It's my text tonight. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. So there's an instruction for a believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, many scholars, and obviously the Greek, puts it in the present tense continuous. Be being filled, or be continually filled. Now, for that to be an instruction, it means that it is within the capacity of a believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how important is that instruction? Now, look at Luke's Gospel 1:41. You know, at the incarnation, Luke was arguably one of the most precise when it comes to the details of the birth of Jesus. In Luke 1. So, now, before we go there, one of the things now, when we talk about flowing with the Holy Ghost, right? Flowing with the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost are one and the same. Flowing with the Holy Ghost and being filled. Now, flowing with the Holy Ghost is like, you know, knowing the direction the Holy Ghost is going and getting in on it. Now, I know that a bit by practice. Sometimes in, must have been late 89 or something around there. You know, I went to my aunt's house. She's gone to be with the Lord now. She was Dr. Miss Saturday. She taught at the Taisha Larin School and all that. You know her? You didn't know she was my auntie. You didn't know. That's the person I said taught me as the day I know. Okay. So I went to her house. They had a swimming pool at Mokola. So they now said the teacher was going to come and teach us on the Monday or so. Monday. About to know how to swim. I just felt, what's the big deal about swimming, really? That, is it not to enter and be doing your hand like this? I just doing your hand like this. Just do your hand like this. So I just decided to go to the swim. Now, this experience makes me know that God had a providential plan for me. Because I didn't tell anybody that I was going to go and learn this swimming myself. I said, Monday. By the time the teacher comes on Monday, he will discover I'm already a swimming whale or something. So by the time I got there, when I got it, it was not difficult now. My legs are... So I was moving, but somehow, I just found out that I slid down. It wasn't sure, or was close. So I went down. And I said, Abu. At some point, I just shut out. I said, well, I think this is over. for me, no, I mean, I didn't tell anybody, you know. But the point was, another thing I noticed was that, you know, the tide was elsewhere. I was elsewhere. So I was going, grr. So a cousin of mine, Tunde Adeyemi, he just said, he didn't know what happened. He just said, of course, it was God. I know what happened. He said he just went near the swimming pool. He saw something moving. He didn't know what it was. So he said, you don't move close. And somehow he stretched his hand, he became a human being. That was me. So he pulled his weight and pulled me out. You know, and of course, some things he learned in the films and the cartoons, he was trying on me. He was not pushing my stomach so that water would come out. You know? And by the time the teacher came on Monday, he now said, no, this is how to... So I said, ooh. You know, I was trying to learn it on my own. So I knew that when they now taught me how to flow with the Holy Ghost, that experience became very real. That there's a way to flow with the Spirit. Or else you just get in like I did Saturday before Monday. And you'll be saying, Abu, Abu. That won't be tongues. Eh? You know, so, you know, how to flow. So being flowing with the Holy Ghost is what the older charismatics used to typify the word being filled. Why do they say flowing? It means you are going in the direction of God's Spirit. Now, it therefore means that, now why would they be definite? Listen, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at that phrase, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, filled. I mean, why? Being filled is what it is. Filled. It means flowing with the Spirit. Now I mentioned that Luke was arguably the one who had some of the most accurate accounts of the birth of Jesus. Of course, we have the Matthew's account from Matthew 1 when, you know, the angel appeared to Joseph, then Matthew 2. Where, you know, Herod tried to get the child and all that. But you see, Luke gave us the encounter the angel had with the mother. That's Mary. Then the interaction she had with her cousin, Elizabeth. Of course, you also have the Zechariah, John the Baptist background. So it was very exhaustive. Now something, and of course, we also have the fact that Luke wrote the book of Acts. So, in Luke's Gospel 1:41, you know, Say be filled with the Spirit. Say be filled with the Spirit. or being filled with the Spirit. Alright, so Luke's Gospel 1:41. Now, see what it says here. It says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leaped, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, which means, when somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost, we will know. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake. Now, actually, verse 15 talked about John the Baptist. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Luke 1:41, you know, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 67. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. Zechariah is the father. How it look like if couples are filled with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Two of them knew how to flow with the Spirit. See, I know how to flow with the Spirit. What about, you know, making that very important to the man who asks you to marry him or the woman who says you can marry her? I say, before you say yes, can you flow with the Holy Ghost? So what's that? You say, this is unequal yoke. This is really unequal yoke. You don't know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. You should know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. It's basic. Elizabeth knew too. Zechariah knew to flow with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1:67. Luke 4:1. Jesus himself was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1. Led by the Spirit actually into the wilderness. But before then he said he was full of the Holy Ghost. So look at that. He's full of the Holy Ghost and he's led. Which means that one of the ways I can get a hold of God's leading is to be full of the Spirit. I can know, okay, what does he want me to do now? You know, just by being filled with the Spirit, I can lay my hands on the leading of the Spirit. So I know to be filled with the Spirit. So it's so consistent here. Zechariah, Elizabeth, then we also have Jesus. Now in Luke 2, of course, this time around, it says, talking about Jesus, Luke 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. It says, Jesus was filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. Now, let me tell you why they use the word filled. Now, in the Old Testament, you will see that same word used in the time of Noah. The earth was filled with wickedness, filled with violence. Which is something you are going to discern. When people are filled with something, others will see it. Alright? So being filled with something people see. You can't be filled with the Spirit on your own. You know? It's what people see. Now, why is this? You know, we'll come to that anyway. So being filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. Of course, Luke writes the word filled for other things. Luke 4:28. They were filled with wrath. Luke 6:11. They were filled with madness. That's interesting. People saw them mad. Filled with wrath. Filled with madness. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, it says the house where they were seated. Alright? Acts 2:2. It says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as and it filled all the house. Filled the house where they were seated. Then verse 4 says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Now, something you have noticed is that since being filled is something others will see, hence the evidence of it is speaking. Others hear you speak. It's not meditation where you are talking to yourself or you are meditating on something. No. It says others heard it. They heard Zechariah. They heard Elizabeth. Of course, they heard Jesus. And we've seen it again in Acts 2:4. People around heard the 120 or more. They heard the 120 filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts again, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said, Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said, Acts 4:31, when they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 4:31, and spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 9 and 17. This is Saul of Tarsus. Now pay attention to this one because he's a new convert. Just got saved, you know, along the way. And Acts 9:17, Ananias was sent to him that he may lay hands on him so that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13 and verse 9. Acts 13 and verse 9. It says, Saul, who was called Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, look at verse 52. The entire church, as it were. Disciples, let's take that 52 together. Let's go. Acts 13, 52. Let's go. Filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy. That means they saw them rejoice. Filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So, not out, being filled with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Spirit, you have evidence. There will be evidence. It's not, it has signs. Others around you will see it. Others around you will see it. Now, notice the instruction in Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So it's something that we are going to see it if you are carrying out that instruction. We are going to see it if you are carrying out that instruction. So being filled with the Spirit is discernible. We will see it. We will see it. Now, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, remember there was this issue of food, you know, and whether the widows, some widows were being neglected. And then it came to the apostles about that matter. And then the apostles said, it's not good or reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Said, choose among yourselves, verse 3, 7 men of honest report. They now said, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. So, which means that being filled with the Holy Ghost is not meant to be, you know, scattered experiences. It's something that we should see about you. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, it should be a testimony. In the local church, it should be a testimony. And don't forget we said, being filled with the Holy Ghost is also what? Flowing with the Holy Ghost. Which means that you know the direction the Holy Ghost is going. You know what God is doing and you are getting in on it. You know what God is doing and you are getting in on it. Now, how many of you know that a Christian should not be guessing when it comes to God's will? Let me see your hand. You shouldn't be guessing. You shouldn't be guessing. And more so if you are a pastor or you are, it's even dangerous that you as a pastor, well, maybe don't be too strong as the word dangerous. It's very unhelpful. If a pastor does not know how to flow with the Holy Ghost, you know, it's very unhelpful. It's almost a big problem. Actually, it's a big problem. He doesn't know. Hey, he says, well, and everything is just logic. He says, let's look at this. Let's look at that. Mm-mm. A pastor should know. Now, if you're a member of Saint Community Church, you know, when I say a pastor, let me tell you what I mean. Now, the people who are pastors today are the examples of where you are going to be. So whatever I tell them is for you to think and say, well, that means me. I must know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. I must know. Don't forget we said that it's something people are going to see. They are going to see it. I notice what they looked for. They say, look for guys, you know, who are very suave in talking, you know, women who are, no. They said, full of the Holy Ghost. That's what really matters. That they are full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. In choosing people in leadership. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. people that they know how to flow with the Spirit. Which means that now, of course, that means that we've seen it with them. We can know it with them. They know how to be led by the Spirit. Of course, that's part of it. They know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 6. The same portion of scripture now speaks about Stephen in verse 8. Full of faith and power. Did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. They saw it. Acts 7. The same Stephen. Acts 7 and 55. He says, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly, all right, and saw the glory of God. So which means that being filled with the Holy Ghost is also accompanied with revelations. Then he now said, so we have revelations, but the primary thing we have seen so far is that those who are full of the Holy Ghost, we know it by speaking. Now, there are people that they know how to talk. They know how to talk. You know, they can talk. They can, when it gets to how to talk, you know, and they have the way around words, you know, like politicians can do it. They can talk you into something before you know it, you have voted for them and they don't know your address again. You know, but that's not what we're saying. It's not knowing how to talk. It's not oratory. It's supernatural utterance. An utterance that is supernatural. Now, when an utterance is supernatural, it will carry supernatural elements. Supernatural elements. Supernatural elements. So we said, being filled with the Holy Ghost means to flow with the Spirit. You know how to flow with the Spirit. Now, we have seen that something consistent is that the people filled with the Holy Ghost, we knew it by their speaking. Supernatural utterances. Acts 11, and quick one, and verse 24. He says there was a good man, his name is Barnabas, of course, and full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. So which means that when it comes to the work of the ministry, being full of the Holy Ghost is a must. It's important to know. Remember we said, being full of the Holy Ghost means to flow with the Spirit. To flow with the Spirit. Now, for Paul to give an instruction and say, be not drunk with wine when in excess. Now, of course, drinking wine. I don't drink wine. And I know you don't. Drinking wine. The kind of wine I'm talking about is not Chamdor. Drinking wine when in excess. Which means that, look at the contrast. It means it's something that is an act of your will. Do not be drunk wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if we have said being filled with the Spirit means to flow with the Spirit, and then it says you can flow with the Spirit. Now, it says flow with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, which means that, pay attention, if I want to get in on what God is doing now in this meeting, the first thing is I'll use my mouth. So with my mouth, I will find the direction of God's Spirit. With my mouth. And it will work in any sphere. With my mouth, I will find the direction of God's Spirit. I will. I'll just find it. The direction of God's Spirit. With my mouth. Speaking. Now it says in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs. But let's look at something very critical. Now, go back a bit and see something Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the same thing. Psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Now, that word spiritual song is to say Holy Ghost giving songs. Is songs of the Spirit. Songs of the Spirit. Now, of course, the moment you say of the Spirit, you are saying an utterance of the Spirit. No doubt. When Paul went to Ephesus, Acts 19 and verse 1 to 2, came to the coast of Corinth and went to Ephesus and saw some disciples and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost as you believe? They said, we've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Unto what then were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. He said, John, verily, As he preached, but he repented and said to the people, "This believer who will come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." When he heard these things, verse 5, Acts 19, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That's the same Ephesus. Then 6 says, then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. All right? And they spake. So, when he says that to Ephesus, they understood it. They spake with tongues and prophesied. They spake with tongues and prophesied. They spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, for Paul too, we've seen Acts 9:17, that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:9, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, no doubt, when he went to Corinth and spoke about the same thing, the same psalms or hymns, 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, earlier on in verse 13, he says we should, you know, covet earnestly, or verse 14, sorry. He said, if I speak with tongues, my spirit prays. I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. Now that word sing with the spirit is another way to say spiritual songs. I will sing with the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding also. He says, well, you know, when you're blessed with the spirit or sing in tongues. He said you have done well, but the other person is not edified. He said you've done well, but the other person is not edified. You know? So, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues, verse 18, more than you all. So, no doubt, the spiritual song is to sing in tongues and sing the interpretation. And it is from that stream that you will get a psalm, which is a hymn. It's from that stream. So, these things are intelligent. I know how to sing a spiritual song. Paul has said that is how to be filled with the Spirit. Now, how many of us can speak in tongues? Well, if you're not, you couldn't have been here anyway if you can't. So, you know, let's see how it is easy to speak with tongues. Now, I won't say it is easy. There are brethren still today waiting for it. So I don't want to say the word it is easy. I saw a dear brother, Brother Solomon. He'd been born again in 1986. I didn't even know he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Somehow we're doing something in the ministry together between 92 and 3. So I didn't see him after a while. Saw him again in 96, St. George Primary School. That was our fellowship venue anyway. So he came, and then he was talking about, you know, he's waiting on the last day. Waiting for what? He said sanctification. I said, for what? For the Holy. I was almost upset. I laid hands on him and immediately go and speak in other tongues. And I mean, he was jumping on chairs. I said, look, Oga, you can't do this one here. I mean, go home and go and break your own chairs. Don't come and break it here. So, but the thing is, 10 years. So I don't want to say it is easy. There are folks that, I mean, I saw someone who had been born again 1959 or so and got filled with the Holy Ghost 2018. That's not too far. But it's not as easy. There was a guy like that. His name, I used to call him Mantu, actually. You know, very lovely guy like that. Lovely, nice guy. But when it comes to the things of the spirit, he was very dumb. Good guy. He just be saying, "Mommy, why this thing is not like that? It's not that I don't want to. I don't want to. It's just that I can't force myself. And I'll be so upset. You know, I'm upset that he's not upset that he's not speaking in tongues. So, but thank God there was one dear sister, you know, who had this, like a special ministry. You know, it was a special ministry actually. So that day I talked to the guy, I prayed for him, I almost put the tongues on his mouth. Oh yeah, say something. Say la 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 cuckoo la la or something. You know, even that one he won't say it. So this dear sister, you know, I got her born again, but she had this special ministry. As he came into the room, I said, come. Yeah, man, to follow her. So, while I was with them, Brother Ayo and Brother Tosin, we're still talking about him. We're still saying, it didn't take 2 minutes. I think it was about 2-3 minutes. He came back talking in tongues. Because I knew that if this sister cannot bail you out, it's not the will of God. Because I knew her. And when he came to my mom, and my mom was like, I brought her to her house. I said, go and do my mother. I said, make sure she falls very well. So my mom spoke in tongues on the floor. Fall on the floor. I said, lay hands on her. Let her do more. If me in this house cannot get her filled with the Holy Ghost, I now have to bring mercenary to come and do this for her. And this mercenary, somebody I got saved. Can you imagine? She was like, anyway. So there are people like that. They have tarried. They've waited though. There was one brother like that. Ah, I did my best. One evening, that evening I fasted. Today, this guy will feel filled with the Holy Ghost. So I said, raise your hands. I raised my hand. He didn't raise his hands. I said, raise your hand. He raised his hand. It was in the evening, Sunday evening, where we just finished YCF after Holy Trinity at, what is this area again? Sheriff. So, I think it was 93 or so. So I raised your hand. He didn't speak in tongues. Ah! I said, oh God. He said, bro. He said, you think I don't want? He said, I want to. He said, but I want the will of God to prevail. I said, which will of God? Me after I fasted. So, but the point was, you know, he had to, and I said, okay, you know what? Let's travel to Ibadan. Where Nikorodu. I knew a fellowship there. And that's why it's good to have that kind of identity. Say, I know a fellowship. I said, see, this is between you and I. If you get to that meeting and you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost, then I will submit to the sovereign will of God. Because that place, my brother Hagin will say, he says, if Fred Price teaches you faith and you don't have it, you can never have it. You can't have it. So, he got there. And interestingly, as we got, and that's how to, you know, as he got there, I mean, we're in, it's a central calf. So he sat to this, I was just praying. Pastor D just entered. As he entered, just the first thing he said, hey, you. And I pointed to him. I said, oh, Jesus. So I not feel the Holy Ghost. Somehow, that was what startled my friend, though. It was my friend, though. And he came, and he spoke with tongues. He's still speaking now, amen. You know, it's my friend on Facebook. I'm sure I said this to you, just be laughing that. Why do you have, nobody will know is what I'm talking about. You know, it took a while. So when I said easy, it's not that easy. That's what I was going to. I was in a congregation too, hundreds of them. They were waiting for about 4, 5, 6, or 7 years. Waiting for what? The man said, you know, sanctification, baptism. I said, hey, on top what? So that evening, to the glory of God, I laid hands on all of them in their hundreds. They spoke in tongues. And I knew that was my last day. You know, in the place. So it's not that easy, you know, but let's look at it. We actually can flow with the Holy Ghost, right? Now speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Raise your voice a bit louder. A bit louder. Now hold on. You know you raise your voice. That raising your voice in itself is flowing with the Holy Ghost. Just that one. So don't mystify it. That raising your voice itself. Now, if you now slow it down, it is still flowing with the Holy Ghost. So let's speak it out a little bit, a bit more, just a bit more. Now, hold on. You know, now, when I say hold on, you don't have to keep quiet. You don't have to, sorry, stop. You can just reduce the tempo and listen. Now, that's also intelligence. That shows you are well taught. You just reduce the tempo and you're listening. You know? Because what Paul said, he said, if you have no interpretation, he said, keep quiet, silence, and speak to yourself and to God. 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 28. Speak to yourself and to God, which means that, you know, you can just lower the tempo. That's all. Now, notice where we started from. That being filled with the Holy Ghost is discernible. It's discernible. Now, does it now mean that speaking with tongues is being filled with the Holy Ghost? At least, that's the starting point. Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if we don't know anything at all, we know that when I am speaking in other tongues, I have started the flow. When I'm speaking in other tongues, I have started the flow. Now stop. Let me say something. Particularly to those of us who are not, I mean, you've heard these things before. You see, as simple as this thing is, you can easily forget it. As simple, you see, it's not complicated. It's not a complex situation. as simple, see, in life, right? In taking decisions, generally, it is the same way. You know, you look at Paul, I speak in tongues in all prayer group meetings, like, You see, that you are doing in the prayer group meetings is part of it. You are exercising yourself knowing how to flow with the Holy Ghost. Which means that when I talk in other tongues, I am in that direction, in the lane of the flowing and the moving of the Spirit. And, you know, thank God for congregational meetings where we come like this and something will happen massively in the congregation. Yeah, we're going to have that. But I must know that I also can initiate it. That's why there's such an instruction like flow with the Spirit or be filled with the Spirit. Now notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will pray in tongues. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with tongues. I will sing with the understanding. I will sing with the understanding. Which means I should also learn to sing more often in tongues. One, I learned to pray a lot in tongues. I'll learn to pray a lot in tongues. Brother Hagin said this, and I posted it just this evening. He says, something a Christian must learn to do every day is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Now, also learn to sing in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Spirit and you sing in the Spirit, you are flowing with the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, that's praying in tongues, and you sing in the Spirit, that's singing in tongues, you are flowing with the Holy Ghost. Now, pay attention. Now, that usually what has happened is that many of us stop there. Remember we said flowing with the Spirit. So that means there's an ongoing work of the Spirit that you have gotten involved in. But somehow, you can stop at some point. Just pray in tongues and sing in tongues and go home. But as we have seen, it's like a flow. It's like a flow. Now, I probably said that those of us who are pastoral leaders, you may say, oh, okay, yeah, I know this. Mm-mm. You see, as simple as it appears, it's so many things that we forget very easily. As simple as it appears, flowing with the Holy Ghost is yielding your mouth to the Spirit. And the first thing I can learn to do is to speak in other tongues, to pray in tongues. I also learn to sing in tongues. It looks like, ah, but this is simple. Exactly why it is simple. Because God gave you an instruction that you can carry out. Flowing with the Spirit. He gave you an instruction that you can carry out. So, which means that the starting point is with me. I need not wait for something to happen outside to flow with the Spirit. I need not wait to feel anything. I need not wait for a song to be given by anyone. I know how to flow with the Spirit. Say, I know how to flow with the Spirit. Say again, I know how to flow with the Spirit. Which means that I know how to get ready. It's also, oh, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost with you. So no problem. I know how to get ready. So what happened in Acts 2? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke. Now pay attention to this now. Paul says psalms, hymns, and singing in the Spirit. That's what spiritual song is. Singing in the Spirit. Now you know you can do that now. Right? Now singing in the Spirit is singing in tongues and singing the interpretation. Right? But can I say something? It's not every time you need to first of all sing the interpretation. Learn to sing in the Spirit well enough first. Sing in tongues, I meant. Well, let's sing in tongues. What is singing in tongues? It means to sing in tongues. That's what it is. Just sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Sing. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Now, pause. Of course, you know you are still singing under your breath. You know, this is how to actually teach people, new converts. You have a role, a duty to teach new converts the same thing. Don't wait till, oh, let me wait for the person to use 6 months in church. No. You teach. So let's continue. Let's continue. Let's continue. Sing. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Sing a bit more. Come on. Sing, sing. Praise God with it. Worship Him with it. Praise God with it. Worship Him with it. Now, pause a bit. Remember what we read? They said, that means in the congregation, we will know people like this. Right? Who flow with the Spirit in utterances. In utterances. It's not about, oh, we have a meeting and no. They flow with the Spirit in utterances. They do it regularly. We know though that brother, I mean, is full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, is it just that they speak in tongues? No. Just hold on. They flow with the Spirit in utterances. They flow with the Spirit in utterances. So we can know such brethren. Ah. Now, it should be all of us, really. It should be. Everybody. I mean, we should know, oh, I mean, everyone here should. But the writer here says that there are people that, you know, we know them. They are given to these things. They are given to these things. Do you know what? It was so important because they become reliable people in the work of the ministry. They become reliable people in the work of the ministry. We mustn't put people in any form of leadership or service, in that of leadership and of course service, who do not know to flow with the Holy Ghost. It, like I said, it looks like a very simple thing. Okay, we just spoke in tongues, but we've been speaking in tongues since. We've been speaking in tongues. We spoke in tongues just a few before we came up, we prayed. We spoke in tongues, yeah, we did. But notice that Paul says you must know what to do with it. So flowing with the Spirit is now doing something with that utterance, with tongues, to do something with it. To do something with it. To do something with it. In Acts 19:6, they prophesied with it. Acts 19:6, they prophesied with it. That means they spoke, you know, in a known language and edified someone or gave an information to someone. They spoke in a known language. A known language. Acts 19:6. In Acts 10:44 and 45, through to 46, they magnified God. So, flowing with the Spirit means through utterances, I make use of tongues, right, for a productive, edifying purpose to others. So, being full of the Holy Ghost is just not knowing people that speak in tongues in church. It's the fact that, you see, these folks, they know how, with the utterance of tongues, to use it for greater purposes in the body of Christ. And those purposes will include to sing in understanding. That purpose, or sorry, those purposes, same thing, will include to also speak by revelation. Which means that if I notice that somebody say we began a very strong emphasis on revelation gifts. Revelation gifts. Because just like the flow of the Spirit, you know, don't shut yourself up with just tongue interpretation. You know, be open to revelations. Revelations will mean information, facts, you know, and stuff like that are given to you for the purpose of meeting a need or direction. Information and facts are given to you for the purpose of meeting a need or for direction. So who are these people filled with the Holy Ghost? They provide direction in the congregation. Through utterances, we see them meet needs supernaturally. Now, notice in Luke 1:41, Rebecca spoke about what God was doing. Luke 1:67, Zechariah pointed out what God was doing. In Luke 4:1, Jesus was led of the Spirit. So there's an activity behind the utterance. In Acts 2:2, Acts 2:4, they were filled the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter stood up and preached God's word. Same in Acts 4:31. Acts 13:9 is to get into what God is doing. So whether I'm praying in tongues or I'm singing in tongues, I am getting into what God is doing now. So as we have this tonight, we can get a hold of what God is doing now. I can tell you this for free. You know, if you are not careful, you will train your mind to be very logical. You will train your mind to just, okay, let's just Google this. Let's call somebody. And before you know it, what ought to have been, you've been prompted to flow with the Holy Ghost. You just resort to natural things. Let's just see. And you will just jump off that flow of the Holy Ghost, which will provide for you facts, not just facts, direction. Not just direction, revelations generally. Definitely a hold into God's power. Hallelujah. 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 So at what point do you stop? You pray in tongues and just go. Or you are praying in tongues to flow with the Holy Ghost. Just be intentional about it. Say, I speak in other tongues to flow with the Spirit. To get in on what God is doing now. Now, I won't ask you to minister to anybody. You will right here, you are in a local church, right? You have things you are doing. You have people you minister to. You have those you teach. Even if it's just one person. Now, you can flow with the Holy Ghost in that direction. Well, Lord, concerning myself, concerning these two brothers, concerning that brother, I yield to the Holy Ghost now. Amen? Are you here? And then you will yield to the Holy Ghost. How? You start by speaking in other tongues. You can sing in other tongues. Then you now, in that same direction, interpret what you are saying. And just the same, you know what you have done? You've spoken by faith. Lord, I'm going to get in on what you are doing in my city. I'm going to get in on what you are doing in my country. I'm going to get in on what you are doing in my church. I'm going to get in on what you want to do in my family. Lord, how do you want me to handle that brother, that sister? What's on your mind? And then you're stirring. Then you begin to yield to the Holy Ghost. You begin to yield to the Holy Ghost in tongues. Then I shall flow in. You get a lot of things. Sometimes, you know, it won't come in a particular way. But you know, wow, I just got a hold of what God is doing. Now what I do oftentimes is, I stay long enough to get a hold of it. And sometimes, you know, it could be something you think is in your head, but it's actually in your heart. And then you just say, well, let me just give it some time. And sometimes, while we give it some time, our mind's already bogged down by worries, anxiety, care, you know, so we may need some time to be very clear-cut about what it is. Now, I'm just talking about decisions generally. But in a meeting like this, you know, because of the way the corporate flow is, it's actually easier. We've prayed. You've been prayed for. And then we are all here, as it were, sharing our strengths, you know, and helping people's weaknesses. So we kind of get it, just like Acts 2. It didn't matter who knew what. Everybody was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So now, let's just do that. Let's see. Let's just do that. Let's just flow with it. Now, if I say, let's just flow with the Holy Ghost, you know what it means, right? Huh? You know what it means? Let's just flow with the Holy Ghost. Now, I give you the liberty. You can raise your voice the way you want. You can, now, if I want you to be low, I'll tell you. Let's flow with the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, in flowing with the Holy Ghost, there are leadings. There are leadings. You could be led. Now, don't necessarily do what everybody is doing, except it's collective. You could be led to stand up, for example. You could be led to kneel down. You could be led to run. You know, just know that something is going to be produced. Okay? Let's go ahead. Come on. We're getting a hold of God's Spirit tonight. And what He's doing in here tonight. Release our faith. For greater demonstrations of God's Spirit tonight, we release our faith. For weights of glory tonight, we release our faith. Release our faith. Release our faith. Release our faith. For the awesomeness of God tonight, we release our faith. For much joy and rejoicing, we release our faith. For manifestations, we release our faith. We release our faith tonight.